right, and we're back. This is episode 58 of the Taproom Podcast, and I am your host, Mike. I got a good one for you today. This one's about almost a year in the making, but we, you know, had such a blast over at Villains, you know, a few weeks ago with Isaias, Mitch, and Brad. Just really good people, and they were the best host that I could ask for. We had a great conversation. You know, we actually recorded over at the Craftsman Building right next to Villains. It was a really fun time. We talked beer. We had some shots. Yeah, during the show, a lot of fun stories, stuff like that. But we had a great, great, great time. And it's honestly, it's just such a cool, unique brewery. When you go over there, the artwork is awesome. The food was phenomenal. They have brunch every weekend, I think starting at 10 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. So you can go over there and get your drink on and get your eat on. So definitely check that out. They're right by the packing district, just down the street from Unsung. So definitely get down there if you have a chance. I'm really looking forward to you guys hearing the interview. I will put the timestamp in the description. Also, sorry if my voice sounds a little off, just getting over being sick. So yeah, I got one brewski here that I'm going to be doing for the brewski review on. I don't believe Villains has cans out yet. So once they do, I'll definitely get one of their beers to review on the show. But all the ones I had while I was there were phenomenal. This specific one, though, is from Arrow Lodge. And shout out to Amber that works for Arrow Lodge. She hooked me up, with some beers. I also got to talk to him. I've been kind of talking a little bit with Mike from Arrow Lodge. So we might make something happen. We're trying to work out a date right now. So stay tuned for that. This one's called Arrow Light. It's one of their brand new ones, just came out. Arrow Light Lager. It says America's Lager. It's coming in at 4.5%. Let's go ahead and crack her open. It's a really cool can as well, because it almost reminds me of like an amalgamation of like old Bud and like old Miller kind of cans from way back when. But it looks really, really cool. So I'm going to go ahead and crack it open here. See how she pours. Ooh. That looks good. Haven't had a beer all week. Other than Monday. I take that back. I haven't had a beer all week. I had one on Monday with Greg. A couple with Greg from Brewery X. Got to record with him at Hoppy Chulo on Instagram. One of the brewers at Brewery X. I've known him for a couple of years now. So that episode will be out, I believe, in about a month. So I'm way ahead of the game right now. So stay tuned. I'll give you guys a preview of the episodes that are upcoming in the outro. But for now, let's jump into this beer from Arrow Lodge. Oh, that's good stuff. That's like a thick head to it too, but obviously a crystal clear. You get, it's like really refreshing. And also you get like this, almost like a sweetness, like a hint of sweetness. Sorry. I'm going to leave that in. Just a hint of sweetness at the end. It is really good though. These are super crushable. Like I'm probably for WrestleMania in a couple weeks, I'm probably going to go back to Arrow Lodge, get as many of these, because get as many four packs of these as I can, because I'm going to be cooking all day and I'm going to need something light. And then towards the end of the night, they also have a new double West Coast and it's called West in Class. It is delicious. So I'm going to start off with these, finish with those. Also got some beers from Hamilton, the beer fridge right now, and also beers from Noble. The beer fridge is stocked right now. So I can't wait for that. Can't wait for Mania in a couple weeks. And hopefully it stays stocked in between then, but we'll see. All right. So before we jump into some headlines, I did have a question of the week on Instagram. I put out there, what other SoCal breweries should I reach out to? Got a few of them. Sir.sips.a.alot. So Sir Sips a lot suggested Figueroa Mountain Brewery in, I'm assuming it's Buellton, California. I honestly, I've heard of Figueroa. I don't know why I can't talk today, but I'll definitely have to check them out. Peter Panda, my dog, Peter, said hit up my homie's brewery in Walnut Common Corners. I've reached out to them a couple times. We did have a little bit of a conversation about a year ago, but yeah, we'll see if we can get them. My boy, Mr. Chains, Super Mario, said Stout House. I believe that's in Upland, so I'll have to check them out. And there's my boy Chew. He had three different ones. Glendale Tap, The Bottle Shop, Eagle Rock Brewing in LA. Also said Lawless, Cerveceria del Pueblo, Shadow Grove, let's see, and 818. So definitely got to hit those ones up. Working on trying to get Highland Park as well. So got some other ones coming up. We also have one Project Barley, Beer with Billy said all of them. Tall Boy Sunday, a shout out to the boys at Tall Boy Sunday. San Fernando Brewing, Bone Shack Barbecue said Gunwales and Costa Mesa. So definitely going to have to check those out. And we'll see if we can get them on the show. All right. So headlines. Baseball starts next week. Well, technically started with the Dodgers and the Padres. So the regular season started for them. But yeah, they played. And then, yeah, so the Bravos start next week. So next week's episode, I'm going to do a preview of baseball season in the intro. And yeah, that'll be good. March Madness is going on right now. Things are getting crazy. The women and the men are playing. I haven't watched a ton of it yet. Since I've been sick, I've just been sleeping, pounding medicine, taking vitamins, doing all that good shit. But yeah, I'm definitely going to start watching it today, have a couple beers since I haven't been able to really drink all week. Yeah. And then also there's some allegations going on with Shohei Ohtani. And it's weird because from what I've seen, the story's changed like a few times. So now I think they said that Major League Baseball is opening their own investigation looking into this. So, I mean, that could get crazy, but I mean, I honestly doubt they would do anything really to Ohtani. He draws too much attention to the league, you know, and he's worth too much to the league. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but I mean, it's just kind of crazy reading through like the threads of like one, you hear the first story that came out, like, you know, about with the interpreter talking about the ESPN and then all this other stuff coming out after. So, I mean, we'll see how it all plays out, but I'm excited for baseball. Hockey's, you know, almost, I think the Avs have like 12 games left. Playoffs are just around the corner. So I'm getting super excited about that. I'm a huge hockey guy. So it should be really good. And the NBA, I know, is winding down, but I mean, I only really watch the NBA when it's playoff time. So it should be pretty exciting down the stretch. But yeah, I'm going to jump in here for one more drink of this beer before we start this interview. Oh yeah, that's good stuff. That is some good, good stuff. All right. Well, like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed the interview with Isaias, Mitch, and Brad from Villains Brewing. Make sure you follow them at Villains Brewing Co. I want to say that's what it is. Let me just make sure. Yep, it's at Villains Brewing Co. Had to edit a little bit there. But yeah, so make sure you follow them at Villains Brewing Co. on IG. And honestly, just get out there and check out the brewery. It does get really crowded. So definitely, you know, if you want to get there for brunch, get there early. But, you know, it's just such a cool place. You got to get down there. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoy the interview and stay tuned for the outro.
All right, guys, we're back in the tap room. I'm your host, Mike. I have three very special guests on the show today. I have Isaias Hernandez, Brad Komenik, and Mitch McDuff, or McDuck, depends on how you say it, from over here at Villains Brewing over in Anaheim. What's going on, fellas?
You sound like a gang, huh?
No, yeah. All right. Dude, absolutely. I don't know. We're just, you know, enjoying the day.
I think we're all excited to be here, and I think all of our wives are mad that we're drinking this early.
Well, I mean, my wife, she's used
if anything, I'm an excuse for you, so there you go.
Yeah.
Well, like we decided.
Otherwise, I would have rolled out of bed and just done this anyway. I'm only engaged, so she can still back out. There is time.
I know, Laura, back out.
Yeah, you got to lock that one in. So you don't
highly recommend.
No, I could try. I'm in the process. Believe me. Yeah, I had a friend tell me that I outkicked my coverage, and you know, so I got to put a ring on it. So I did. I don't know baseball at all, but you know, I'm doing the best that I can with that.
There you go.
I know what he's referring to his head, by the way. That's it. Putting a ring on it is always is weird to me.
Yeah.
It's a weird,
I know. Right. Well, he didn't
run down. Anyway. What, I don't know the answer's healing.
This is basically every like manager meeting.
Oh, there you go.
That's how it starts.
It just goes sideways and nothing gets accomplished.
I thought this was serious business.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's all right.
You're getting a very authentic window into what we do.
No, but that's great, though, because I love that aspect of it. Like, being able to just, you know, I always refer to this as just sitting across from the bar with somebody or somebody bugging Mitch over at Everywhere, you know, and having a 30-minute conversation.
I'm a fast runner. I know I don't look it, but if I don't want to talk to you, I would just run away. But I was there. I want to be there.
Yeah, no, it was a fun time.
Here I am.
So with everybody, so Isaias, you know, and Brad, you know, started Villains Brewing, and Mitch is, I was going to say, Mr. McDuck, is one of the brewers here. Yep. And, you know, so can you guys tell us a little bit about your guys' journeys? Whoever wants to start.
Journey in general.
Yeah, like your journey in craft beer.
Oh, in craft beer.
Got in the car this morning.
I know, yeah. getting a kid in the car is hard. My journey in craft beer, let's see. Okay, so I started watching Kegs early on. Taps Corona. Worked at Noble Ale Works. But, yeah, worked there for quite a while. I got hired on to just, you know, do that kind of stuff. I worked in marketing, finance marketing for 10 years before that. I'm really old. So at 30, I decided to just drop all that and then get into craft beer, I guess if you want to call it that, craft beer. Yeah, Brewery Noble had been around for about about a year at the time. And so I hung out there a bit, knew the guys, and they brought me on to help. Yeah, dude, just, you know, this the grunt stuff. And then a handful of months after I started doing that, Evan Price came on, and then we did our thing for quite a while till he left. And then I did my thing for quite a while till COVID or so. And then I was on the couch. Never got COVID, but during COVID, with my daughter's high risk, she has cystic fibrosis. So I didn't. Yeah, I was just sitting on the couch, which was like super great. Actually, it was like sitting on the couch was awesome. But then Evan called me, a green cheek, and said, "Hey, you want to head up the Orange facility?" And I couldn't think of an excuse not to do that. Everything was winding down. COVID was winding down. So getting off the couch and going back to work was what I had to do.
There you go.
And then. Yeah, well, I would do that for like a year. I did that for like a year and change, and then I see my brewer at Noble for Matt Fonts, who's a nurse now. He's out. He did the smart thing, got a nursing degree, but I hit him up because I knew he had a barbecue buddy, and I help run the Beach Brews and Barbecue event for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
That's awesome,
and. So I said, "Hey, do you think your barbecue buddy would want to come and barbecue at the event?" Not only did Isaiah say, "Yeah," he came out. He auctioned off his a lot of his time and efforts as well for the foundation. It was really big. And this was when I was at Green Cheek still, and Green Cheek was such a great supporter of the cause as well. And so, but I think I heard that. Brewery X was backing out of this spot, and I hit up Matt after all that was done, the event was done, and I go, "Hey, you want to see if your barbecue buddy wants to start a brewery?" And
we met 15 minutes, you know?
Yeah. But we hit it off all right, yeah. You know? And
for those that know me, I'm like the biggest flake. So when Matt called me, he said, "Hey, man, I know you're the biggest flake." Ouch, but true. He's like, "But you can't screw over my friend. This guy's important. Like, he's an important person in my life. I need you to actually show up and make the food." I said, "Okay, if it was anybody else, I would have been like, okay, rock." I would have said, "Yes," never showed up. Just kind of left them high and dry. But, you know, Brad showed up to Craft by Smoke and Fire in Anaheim, and, you know, he blew me away with his story, and he showed up with somebody else from the organization.
Katie,
And the entire time I was like, "Wow, you guys are doing this for your children and for good people. So why not do it?"
Yeah. That's awesome.
So and then the brewery thing.
I mean, we've known each other for 15 minutes. We both look the Simpsons. Let's just be business partners. Why not?
Yeah, that was wild. I honestly, that was just kind of like throwing that out there. It wasn't, you know, "Hey, see if your buddy wants to just take over this massive, ridiculous thing over here in Anaheim." It's
a massive commitment for the next 10
years. Yeah, exactly. With a pool.
The best part is people don't understand how easy it is to create a business. It's kind of like getting married, right?
Yeah.
You can get married in 30 minutes in Norwalk, but it takes you 3 months to get divorced. I think it's like a $30 fee to get married. It's like a $10 process.
Right.
Same thing with starting a business. When we started and did our LLC and signed off, he's like, "So is that it? Like,
there's got to be some things I have to do." I just like literally signed a paper. Don't have to read anything, which is, you know, the best part about contracts is you don't actually have to read them.
There you go. Yeah, you just sign them. You don't even think about it.
So I started February 1, technically, I think, right? Yeah,
February 3rd.
And, you know, dove into that brew house. And literally, I just was in that, inside it. I'm like, I could barely fit through the man ways. And this was a year ago. And wow. I put on many, many, many pounds since starting here. So I don't even know if I could fit in the man way. I sent little Mitch McDuck in there. And
there you go.
He's got in there. And
I feel, I fill the kettle with gold coins. And I dive right in. Yeah.
Like, jump on in, water's fine.
turn the jackets on.
Yeah, what happens. Yeah, lockout, tag out. What's that? Come on. Yeah.
But getting this going was fun. It was interesting. You know, recommissioning a brewhouse is fun. Commissioning a brewhouse is interesting. It's like, anytime we do that, it's a lot of work and you're dying, but it's also interesting. At least it's interesting.
Well, I mean, for me, being on the restaurant side, just coming into the Endeavor, I'm accustomed to being like the hardest worker, first one in, last one out.
Yeah.
And just seeing Brad here doing the exact same thing, it was beyond encouraging. And our opening actually was delayed by 4 months. So imagine 4 months of dead rent. Dead rent, for anybody that doesn't know, it's when you're paying rent on a property and not seeing sales.
Yeah.
So 4 months of dead rent, 4 months of being told, hey, you're going to open next month. You're like, it kind of wore us down. And so
it was getting rough there. Yeah.
It was getting rough for a while. But like seeing him in the, you know, the tank scrubbing, you know, getting here at 6 a.m, talking to boiler guys at 5 a.m, it like really encouraged us to get this process going. And we were able to do a lot of creative things to really create some buzz and market the brand and start like, you know, launching private parties. So we were just blessed to have a great team, you know, bringing Mitch on board.
Yeah.
I pulled my best Wolf of Wall Street.
There you go.
The week we opened, we realized how busy we were going to be. Brad needed help. And, you know, seeing how hard Brad worked when he said, hey, man, I need help. I need this guy.
Yeah.
Went to the bathroom, you know, slicked my hair back a little bit, came outside. Always be closing ABC.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mitch, what's it going to take? Write down your number right here.
Yeah.
He wrote a higher number than I ever thought. He said yes. And he was here like a week later. So.
Awesome. Oh,
let's not leave Dave out of the picture.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave was here before. He's no longer with us.
He flew back to Vegas.
He's alive.
Well, yeah, because you said RIP. I was like, whoa.
No, he's still actually working.
Yeah.
Okay. He just couldn't.
Yeah, he's just not physically with us. Got it. Yeah.
Sorry.
I would say in my 42 years on this earth, I've met a lot of cast of characters, and David's the most unique person I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's also the hardest working. He has the biggest heart. He has the biggest mouth when he drinks, and he has the biggest heart. So he's a perfect yin and yang. Shout out to David. You know, soon to be one of our business partners. We're going to give some equity in our next project.
Awesome.
He literally lives in Vegas and commutes down here to work here.
Wow.
That's how bonded he is to Villains and to Brad and to Mitch and their brewing program. So, I mean, that's huge.
That's awesome just because, I mean, you were talking about his work ethic, your work ethic, and obviously, like, I know Mitch just, you know, works his ass off. But I mean, you have to have that. I'm sure that, like, you know, when you see that kind of like from the top, like for the people that really care about it and then own, you know, like actually own the business, it kind of, you get that trickle down effect. Because if people, like, you know, they, even if it's like the beer tenders, anything like that, when they see somebody work that hard, they want to work that hard because of, you know, they really believe in, you know, what you're doing and what you guys are selling.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer in the idea that, you know, anyone can go and drink whatever beer they want, whatever thing they want to do. But if these people are coming in to a place, the place where this thing is made, you know, and, you know, these people are inherently looking for a little bit of an elevated experience. And so, you know, when there's passion in the place and when people believe in what they're doing, I think it directly translates to the customer. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we have a really solid group of guys and yeah, it's a great place to be.
Yeah. And because I know I've been hounding you a little bit for a while, but could you tell us your story too, Mitch?
Oh yeah. So I just had my 31st birthday, which I realized meant that I brewed my first batch of beer at home actually on my 21st birthday.
Oh, awesome.
I had some friends who, when I was 20, a few months before I turned 21, they started getting into the idea of home brewing. I, of course, didn't drink any of it. I just hung out with them. Because I wasn't 21, so I didn't drink anything. I just hung out with them and enjoyed, you know, from the beginning. I was there just for the craft of it, you know.
Yeah.
But so for my 21st birthday, I asked my parents for a kit to brew beer.
Yeah.
And so I got that and yeah, brewed my first batch on my 21st birthday. And so, yeah, homebrewed for a few years. I had a great group of friends, these two brothers actually that I did it with. Shout out to Tavis and Aaron. And they, Aaron actually, he works for Boeing now. I mean, he's a degree in mathematics.
Dang.
Aaron Tavis is just as smart and just as awesome. And
he works at Applebee's.
He
sweeps at Applebee's.
He's between jobs right now, yeah. And so I was really lucky to be with these dudes that were just so smart. And, you know, and I have a degree in computer science. And so I kind of have that sort of analytical mind as well too. And so I was lucky that, you know, we were homebrewing, but we took it very seriously and we're always working on perfecting it and figuring out what we could do. And so then I started working, I believe in 2017 at a brewery in San Clemente called Lost Winds.
Mm-hmm.
I started going in there right when they opened. I heard about them. I was like, oh, that's awesome. So I started going to this new brewery and, you know, it was the owners behind the bar, Tim and Erica. And just hit it off with them. They're just, I mean, they're amazing people. And yeah, just started talking to them. And I remember I brought Tim my homebrew and he was trying it and he gave me some advice and stuff. And I was like, I was like starstruck that this dude that, yeah, you know, owned a brewery was having my beer. And that was really cool. And so then a few months into them being open, they're hiring another bartender. And so I was like, all right, this is my foot in the door. I got a job bartending there. I also at the same time too applied to the UCSD Brewing Extension Program, which is awesome. A great program. That was really cool. And so, you know, I was able to learn from some really great people there. Some big people in the industry that I really respected. And so that was an awesome thing to learn from those guys. And then, yeah, from day one, I started hanging out with the brewer Brandon at Lost Winds, and he just was showing me. I wanted to learn everything I could because I knew how to, you know, it's when you have 5 gallons of liquid in a bucket, it's easy to just dump it from one bucket to another. But when you do it on a professional scale, you know, if you have hundreds of gallons or thousands of gallons, you have to use pumps, you know, and there's a whole different. And so, you know, there at Lost Winds, I was able to learn the, you know, how to do all the same things, but how to do it on a commercial scale. So that was great.
Yeah.
And then, a while into that, I applied to Green Cheek. Just, you know, they had a posting, hey, we're hiring an assistant brewer. And, you know, I wasn't even technically a brewer at Lost Winds. I was just kind of hanging out and learning from the brewers. Yeah. I was doing sales and taproom for them. And it was almost kind of like an apprenticeship thing. And so I didn't feel like I was qualified in any way because Green Cheek was, you know, one of, if not my favorite brewery, and the beer they made, I just didn't understand how to make beer like that.
Yeah.
And so I just applied for, you know, for funsies and ended up getting the job there. And, you know, like Brad was saying, just started out doing grunt work, washing kegs and all that. And, you know, I realized what an opportunity it was to have my first brewing position be at a place like Green Cheek. And so I worked as hard as I could, just learning as much as I could. And Evan was great about, you know, just teaching me everything that I wanted to know. And so, yeah, I was able to work there. And then, yeah, knew Brad because Brad was friends with Evan and he was from Noble, you know, and Brad started working there. And, you know, and so then that was great. You know, it's great to work with Brad. And so anyway, long story short, when Villains got started, when they're, you know, I hit up Brad and I said, hey, you need a little bit of help over
here? Yeah, the friends and family, I think. You came out and... Yeah. You were a friend and or family, and you were invited, and
I worked one shift behind the bar here.
Yeah,
you know, because we were talking about Ebron, maybe, you know, and they're still figuring it out, but they were super slammed. So Brad said, "Hey, I don't know if you want to do this at all, but could you want to work a shift behind the bar?" And I was like, "Yeah, anything you want, I'll come on in." And
then
after one shift, then you know Isaiah C. Wolf of Wall Street to me, you know, and
there you are. Yeah. He pulled the whole Wolfie.
Thank you for getting through that. And who's still listening hasn't turned it off.
iPod out the window. You know? It's hard not to love Mitch. He's like the most humble person I've ever met.
Oh, no. I said, like, even like the first time I ever met you was at Lost Winds. And, you know, and like you were, you know, you poured my beer. And like we were talking, and like you and I gave you a bunch of some stickers. And then we were talking about stuff. And then And I was like, that's when the hounding kind of started.
I wouldn't call it hounding.
No, but Mitch.
I'm just a really bad texter. Yeah. It's nothing personal.
No, Mitch is a player. Like, no. I'm sorry, no. I'm glad you're getting married, man. Anytime Mitch is around my wife, my sister, I'm always like, you know, a little cautious because it's so smooth, right? Okay. Like, and when you see Mitch, you're like, who's this guy? He has a, you know, grizzly red beard, but he's one of the most charismatic people I've ever met. He's well-spoken. He understands craft. He pours a commitment to values and standard operating procedures that most people don't. And it's just exciting to be next to him and to hear him talk and to hear his passion. Like, this guy's going to grow with the industry so much.
Oh, yeah. And, like, that's one of the things I love about brewers. Like, is they can make the best hazy, or they can make the best West Coast. They can make the best thing. But then when they like, try it, or, like, there's someone's, like, telling them, like, oh, this is amazing, they're like, yeah, but it could be better. Or I'm going to take it here. I want to take it there. And some people don't understand that. Like, people just think, like, you know, oh, like, you can't rest on your laurels. Like, you can't, like, you know, keep doing the same thing over and over again. You have to continue to strive to want more, you know?
Well, that's what's so refreshing being in the craft beer segment is, you know, as a chef, like, as somebody that works in the kitchens mostly, I've never had an experience where Brad says, this is an amazing taco. Good job.
Yeah.
Like, if he's trying something that I'm making for the first time, it needs more acid, it needs more heat, it needs more fat, it needs something, umami. There's this constant pursuit of perfection in the brewing community that's, like, so refreshing coming from the restaurant segments.
I really do want an amazing taco.
I just want an amazing taco.
Mitch and Brad share my food all the time.
Hey, well, we should own our own beer, you know, so that's only fair.
My 30% of bringing up joking that.
Turn to joking matter, and then we can actually talk.
Not good enough for you guys.
And Isaiah, to tell us about the barbecue, though, too, like how that all started.
You know, it started as a passion project. For me, food's always been, like, the hero.
Yeah.
Growing up, like, we didn't have
sandwiches.
Yeah. We didn't have, like, Disneyland as an alternative. Like, our parents wouldn't bribe us with Disney.
Yeah.
We were so poor, it didn't exist. You know, so for us, it was always like, hey, you're about to graduate from middle school. Where do you want to go eat? You know, Boys Burgers, Huntington Park. Shout out to Boys Burgers. Best burger in town.
Nice.
We opened Rampart, eventually moved to Huntington Park, landed in Downey.
Okay.
Started working at Red Robin when I was 15 years old.
Oh, shit.
I was a dishwasher, moved my way up to every position in the back of the house.
Was that the one in the Stonewood Mall?
Stonewood Mall. No, Red Rock, Cerritos Mall.
Oh, Cerritos Mall. Okay, I knew there was one. It was at a mall, but I couldn't remember back because I knew I'd been there.
Cerritos Mall, you know, eventually I got moved to the front house position when I was 18.
Okay.
I was able to become a server, and I trained with this guy named Josh Bentram, one of our business partners. He was actually a bird. I would walk Josh around.
Oh, really?
By the time I was 19, I got kind of, like, bored and tired of it.
Yeah.
Eventually, I led Josh into a Victoria's Secret, removed the leash, and left him there. 6 hours later, I'm on security. It took him 6 hours to get he came back, and I said, hey, man, I know that was a really bad experience. If we open up a business, I'm going to make sure you're going to be my business partner, and that's why Josh is with us. Shout out to Josh. Love you.
That's awesome.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Eventually, I stumbled upon a company called Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers.
Okay. Never heard of them.
I know.
Do they make tacos?
Yeah. Is it a taco place?
They hit me up in 2014, offered me, like, a really low ball salary, said no. 2016, they said, hey, we opened up Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers in Stonewood Mall, and it's so busy, and none of us want to do business in California. How about you come on board, create a team, and open up every location for the next 2 years?
Oh, shit.
So I did that. Hired Josh, Sean, some of the people that have worked with me in the past. And we opened up every Raising Cane's in California between 2017 and 2019.
Dang, yeah, because it's growing like crazy.
Grew like crazy. Yeah. During that time, they're a Texas-based company. I visited Texas once a month. Fell in love with barbecue, you know, when Aaron Franklin Barbecue blew my mind. I'd go there at least one time. Every time I visit, I'd go to Aaron Franklin.
Yeah.
The experience, the camaraderie.
Brisket's phenomenal.
To create a product that's so loving that somebody's willing to wait in line for 5 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, buy community beer, like, throw it out and just hang out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
There was something special about that. And so when I got back home after 2 years of just traveling, my wife said, hey, I got this statement from American Airlines. Congratulations, you flew around the world 7.5 times.
Oh, shit.
You haven't been home in 2 months.
Wow.
I want a husband. I don't want a part-time husband. So she said, hey, let's open up a business. And she poured her credit cards out.
Wow.
Put everything in her credit. My credit score at the time is like a 586.
Yeah. 586. I thought I was
Christmas. You know, so shout out to my amazing wife, Maya. She put everything on the line for us. My brother, who's like just, have you ever had one of those people that just doesn't let anything go?
Oh, yeah.
So my brother had this seed planted that we should open up a restaurant and he wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And so for 6 months straight, he would call me.
Yeah.
He'd call me at 2 a.m. He'd say, hey, 911, I need you. And I'd pick up the phone. He'd be like, hey, man, we should open up a restaurant. So it went insane for my brother, for Josh, for my wife, for myself. And we opened up a restaurant called Smoke and Fire Social Eatery.
Okay.
We decided to open up June 12, 2020, which is a month after the national shutdown.
Yeah.
And the community responded with like an overwhelming demand for our food, and we just grew.
And it's and it's off of Alondra.
It's on Whittier Boulevard in La Habra.
Oh, okay. I thought that was another one.
Right next to the Northgate supermarket.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, that's the one. Yeah.
So over the course of a year, we went viral, opened up 3 locations. On the 4th location, we said let's do a full service model.
Yeah.
Which is Craft by Smoke and Fire in Anaheim.
Okay.
Grew that location by 3. Eventually, Matt called me and said, "Hey, this crazy guy Brad that you met said that this brewery is available." I called our landlord, who is our landlord in Anaheim, happened to be the landlord here.
Oh, wow.
He loves the way we operate. You know, we keep a clean restaurant. We pay our bills on time. You know, we do our due diligence.
Yeah.
Said, I'd love to have you as a tenant. We did a walkthrough. I remember I came here because I really want to impress Brad. You know, I hear all these things about Brad being this badass brewer.
And yeah.
His commitment to standards and values. So I got here now early, started sweeping right outside the courtyard where that table is.
Yeah.
I came inside, opened the door, and there's a homeless guy taking a nap.
Oh, no.
This place in the
I saw that guy yesterday. He was still on the bench over there. We became
friends with him. You know,
yeah, he's like super good dude. Yeah. He's got some things going on, but otherwise, like, super good dude.
Shout out to Charlie, the Marlboro guy. If you ever get a picture.
Charlie the Marlboro guy. If you have a cigarette, a lighter, or a dime, he wants one of those three there.
Okay.
Good dude.
Just some American stands for you.
It's not Charlie, scared him off. The time that this place was closed in those 2 months, and it just turned into like a really dilapidated, like worn down building.
Yeah.
Walked him in here. His family loved it. We loved it. And he struck a deal. And, you know, now we're here a year later working our butts off to make it successful.
No, man. Clearly it's working. But like, how cool is that? That everything kind of comes full circle. You had like your landlord at, you know, one place just so happened to be the landlord here. And like, how often does that kind of happen? Because you already had a working relationship. If it was somebody else, maybe they would have, you know, said no or whatever, you know, anything like that. But that's pretty, like, you know, the coincidence and all that kind of thing. That's pretty awesome.
100%. I think Linda Shaheen, they both chose us as a tenant because of our relationship.
Yeah.
Those are the landlord owners. They also own Packing District and other projects.
Spots Coach Baser, Lab.
Yeah. Heavy movers. But I would say that, you know, a testament to our success and where we're at is our team. Much like Brad has, you know, David and Mitch. Mm-hmm. You know, we have my brother, myself, Russell, Dominic, Rafa. We just added on Mark to our operations team. So
nice.
Seeing this concept expand is kind of like why. That's my why.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about like, what's your why for wake up in the morning, it's seeing the team grow and seeing what we can do.
Yeah. And like, if you're not, like I always say, get busy living or get busy dying, because I love Shawshank, but you know, that's life though. I mean, like, you know, like if you're not willing to put in the work, like everybody nowadays, they feel like bunch shit handed to them. You got to work your ass off. If you want something really that, or if you want something that bad, put in the work and you'll get it.
When I first started, I had a bunch of beer recipes and I just got on the brew deck and I started just putting water in the mash. Mashing in, and then the original brewer told me to keep going off, and it turns out I just needed to wash cakes. That was what, but I wasted like a pallet of grain that day.
Did you actually?
No,
what?
No, I knew I needed to come in and just eat shit forever. Yeah, no,
I was like, no way.
I'm always willing to eat shit. That's what I'm a fat guy. So
We gotta eat, right?
Yeah, you gotta just do it. Oh yeah, I mean, I didn't go to college, so
unfortunately,
yeah, I just what a waste of money.
Yeah. I got it.
Although I do need some.
Is the guy who's on my alleys?
Oh,
I had like an extra $3,000 or $4,000 after my grants or whatever that I got from the government.
Yeah,
I ended up just investing that in Apple and doubled it. And so, I made money from college. Yeah. It was kind of a waste of time.
No,
yeah. No, but at least I ended up
getting. Actually, my wife does that. But she's a professor.
Yeah. I got 4 figures.
Yeah.
I got 4 figures.
Right. I know.
I know.
Hey, something.
It's a lot more money than I have now.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, one more thing about the barbecue, because I love barbecue.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to smoke?
I love everything that there is about barbecue. I don't want to take over the segment.
No, you're fine.
But for me, even the word barbecue stems from a Latin phrase, the barbacola, which is from beard to tail. And it's the indigenous way of cooking whole hogs, whole animals. So when I started working for Wood Ranch and I found out it was like a Latin thing and the roots and the community behind it, I really started geeking out over it.
Okay.
And then I fell in love with the cowboy way of doing it, which is Texas barbecue.
Yeah.
From the worst cut of meat, brisket, the toughest cut of meat. You know, which is like lomo in Spanish, and you make it something so soft and so tender.
Mm.
Currently, we offer our brisket, our tri-tip. I would say our tri-tip is my favorite cut here.
Okay.
We cold smoke it for about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
We smoke it till it's 130 degrees. We pull it, we let it rest. It's a perfect mid-rare. And then we slice it and we cook it with barbecue sauce, caramelize it, make sure it's perfect.
Nice.
I would say it's something I'm super proud of, something from my Wood Ranch days. When we opened up, I recruited the best barbecue guy I know. Rest in peace, Oscar. He was this big, jolly guy that just loved food. You know,
oh, that's cool.
He's one of the few people that could put a smile on my face instantly.
Yeah.
But he's also one of the few people that much like Brad, he had standards. And if you cross those standards, regardless of his relationship with you, he would stop me in my tracks and say, but chef, that's not the way we do things.
Mm-hmm.
So when we first opened up, he came up with a menu. We're focused a lot on bar food, but a little bit more elevated.
Yeah.
Again, Brad's feedback and coming down on me, he's like, hey man, some of these burgers are coming out a little chewy.
Yeah.
We decided to switch over to Wagyu ground beef.
Okay.
Which is something we're carrying at our new distillery.
Awesome.
Twice the cost. We're not increasing prices, but twice the flavor.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of those burgers. I'm looking forward to launching them here. But if you ever come down, we sell a barbecue platter. It's a half chicken. It's tri-tip. It's brisket. Down. A little bit of everything. I'll make you one as soon as we're done here.
Oh, thank you.
But it's made with a lot of love. We use a Southern Pride smoker. We use the best of the best in terms of equipment.
Yeah.
You're always welcome to come into my kitchen and check it out. Those guys back there put a lot of love, a lot of sweat, blood, and tears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a very busy, high-volume restaurant. Anybody at barbecue will tell you that high-volume barbecue places are hard to run because you can't cut corners.
Yeah.
You know, that brisket's not tender,
oh, yeah.
Oh, and it's not 205 degrees.
Yep.
Forget about it, but you're still in trash.
Oh, yeah. I think one of my favorite thing, and it's not, I feel like it's not as popular as pork tenderloin.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's done right, it's so good.
Yeah. We're thinking about putting pork tenderloin here at the Craftsman. The Craftsman's 1904. It's called Craftsman 1904. It's a historic house where we offer a speakeasy vibe and an 8-course prefixed menu.
Yeah.
But we're starting to play around with carnitas. We're going to have our first batch of carnitas this week. My family's from Michoacan, so we take a lot of pride in our pork and cooking it the right way in copper pots. We're also thinking about adding different ribs, different varietals of beef. So I think in the next month or so, if you guys are able to make it down to Villains, we're going to have a lot of new food items to check out.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely. That sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Man, I'm excited.
That's good.
Every day I come to work, I have the same routine.
Yeah.
You know? Come in, I check the restroom, say hi to everybody, knuckle everybody, thank them for being here.
Yeah.
And then I go in the back and just have Mitch shit all over my food. And then I go out the kitchen and then we fix it and then we make it better. So
that's awesome.
It's a team effort, man. If you want to be the best, you gotta pay the boss the cost to be the boss, and you're always looking at how you can make it a little bit better.
My uncle used to say that to us when we were kids. You got to pay the cost to be in the house. And it always still makes me laugh to this day. That's awesome.
Isaiah doesn't know this, but I've actually never even had the food. I just tell him I don't.
Yeah.
It's a little dry today.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I haven't had it.
I don't know what you were thinking when you served that.
I don't know what he's going to figure out that I'm just spinning his wheels. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a mind game.
Yeah.
So if you see a bunch of holes in the walls, that's because of Mitch.
Oh, maybe.
No, yeah, the food's fun. Beer's fun. It's a fun place. If you don't like fun, if you don't like good things, you know, then I would say definitely steer clear. But if you like having a good time and having good things, then you know, consider coming here. You know,
just consider it.
Yeah,
just put it on the list.
Yeah, you know, put us somewhere on the list.
There you go. And but I did want to hear the story behind the villain's name, how you guys what did you guys, because I mean, obviously I love Villains and I want to talk about, because you're a wrestling fan, I'm assuming, right, Brett?
I am a wrestling fan.
Okay, so am I. So
I love it. Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, hardcore.
We're on the road to WrestleMania right now.
Oh, dude,
the build-up is getting exciting.
This could turn into a wrestling podcast real fast.
I mean,
well, what's the beer that we're drinking right now?
Yeah.
It's called Kayfabe. Yeah. So you're the first person that I've told about that actually appreciates the name.
Yeah.
But I mean, presumably.
Yeah, you got to keep Kayfabe.
Yeah, it's dead, but
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, it's been dead.
It's, anyway, yeah.
He was so happy when you got that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I forgot what we were talking about.
What? Yeah. I walked away, you like threw a fist bump into me. Like, I told you guys.
Dude, I have the winged eagle.
Oh, okay, the belt.
My favorite belt.
We have it hanging in the brewery right now.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. That's Dave's. He's left it. I have a small one in my car. I have a mini one, which I didn't bring today because I figured I'd be drinking beers. You should always have a WWE wrestling belt in your car. I always have one. Yeah. Just in case. You never know when a match is going to break out.
All I have is my yellow belt for my Taekwondo.
There you go. I always appreciate the Scott Hall, you know.
In the restroom. And here's the thing, everything in there's been tagged up.
Yeah.
Except for him. Yeah.
Cholos love wrestling apparently because it's never been touched.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like
that. The cowboy, Wyatt Earp. He got punched in the gut. His drywall went exploded, you know.
Tombstone,
yeah,
that's a creative tombstone.
Yeah, phenomenal.
When it comes to Razor, bro, no one touches.
Razor, yeah. Chico. Yeah. Actually, my buddy Jay did the Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
In the box in there, he did those, and we're saying like, God, I hope it doesn't get tagged up. And he goes, "Nobody tags my stuff. Nobody tags my shit." So he says, everyone respects my shit. Nobody tags it. So I mean, I think there's some people, you know, people have to respect certain things, you know, that Razor's one of them, you know.
Oh yeah,
punch a cowboy.
Yeah. And R.I.P. to Razor, but he'll always have the greatest Hall of Fame speech to me of all.
Oh yeah,
it was like what, 7 words or 11 words or whatever it was? Hard work pays off, dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do. Fucking
bad.
I'll
me too. It's like, it gives you chills.
Oh, yeah. My brother doesn't even like wrestling, but he will quote that all the time.
Yeah, it's great. Phenomenal.
It's not like Ric Flair, where it was like a 3-hour Hall of Fame speech.
And I paid for his final match, too.
Oh, that was a tough
It's not going to be his final match either. Yeah,
He said that how many times?
I did Stinger, you know, that's his final.
Oh, that was the way they did that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, we can just talk wrestling forever. Yeah. Last podcast I was on was Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd just mic drop podcasts at that point because what else is there? But
yeah.
But here I am.
There we go.
Yeah.
And now you're back.
I'm back. Back on podcasts.
And, you know, like I said, I we may have to just do like a separate show one day and just talk about wrestling.
I mean, I'm down. I'm always down.
The villain's name, like, what made you guys go to that?
Okay. So one time in the Tasty Room at Noble back, you know, this was years ago, a guy came up to me who had been having, he'd bad priced several IPAs, and comes up and he's like, "Oh, dude, man. It's so nice to meet you. You guys did all this shit from nothing, man. You guys are like the villains of this shit."
Yeah.
I got what he was saying because it, you know, it was like we got, I don't know this. I mean, it's a silly thing to think about or care about, but our social media and Instagram at Noble went from 0 to 55,000 all organically. It was us just doing stupid shit on that platform.
Yeah.
And just doing the silly stuff, posting beer stuff. And we did it. We did it from, it was all just us putting ourselves out there, you know, and a real organic. And yeah, so I feel like I got what he was saying with that. And that kind of just stuck, you know, to me. Cause yeah, we're just like, we did what we wanted to do. We didn't have the time and much influence from anybody. It was just, you know, me, Evan, Matt, and it was Jerry, the original guy who brought me on. So, you know, I'm not sure what he's doing right now, but and then Brian. So yeah. So that's where that came from. Was just that customer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
and it's always more fun to be a heel than a babyface.
I'll always be a heel. Exactly.
That's a heel. Shawn Michaels is my favorite of all.
Yeah. You rock.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. But anyway, so and then I said to you, and then And then we just ran with it.
Yeah.
I said, what do you want to name your brewery? He said, Villains. I said, okay, let's do this.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's interesting too, because, and I kind of warned Brad, I'm like, you have this interpretation or vision of your concept.
Yeah.
And then you open it, gets slapped in the face and realize what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
So when we first opened up, we thought like villains, like anti-heroes in movies, culture, you know, stories. And then sure enough, the first week he showed up, we like look around and it's like, everybody has these horror villains. Like
there's a lot of horror. Yeah. No, and then death metal shirt. Yeah. A lot of our cuts. What, you know, so walking around when we're busy, when we're like just packed right on weekends, I see all that stuff and people are just having a good time. It reminds me of like the old days of when people were like super stoked on craft beer. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's funny. They have that vibe because, you know, generally a lot of times you go to the tasting room, it's kind of like, you know, people just appreciating beer. But this is like the vibe of the people that are here are like really up, you know. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
You know, I just outside today, there was somebody wearing a Villains like jersey and
they're
coming before Disneyland. They're coming to hang out.
Yeah.
We're definitely like a home base for like misfits.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we are misfits. So it's kind of cool to like.
I mean, I never fit in. My wife was at the Madonna concert last night. She saw a villain shirt there.
Oh, that's
just
awesome.
Just a guy just hanging out. Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
Like, and it's a La Bamba Bob shirt, by the way. Was the
show. Hey, movie still makes me cry.
I love, bro. Every family has a Bob.
Oh yeah,
like, especially every Hispanic family. But every family has a Bob.
No doubt. But that movie still makes me cry to this day. And I've seen it.
Oh, I know. Richie, like, just anytime that's one song, it's like,
when I want to see Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want one of you guys to say,
yeah. Pounding on the casket.
Exactly.
I'll be there for sure.
Wake up, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's for me, that's like the ultimate experience is having somebody wear that shirt.
Oh, that's cool, man.
You know?
That's
at a Madonna concert.
There you go.
Shout out to Madonna.
Yeah. She's an up-and-coming artist.
Hey, Madonna.
Hey, Madonna.
Yeah, she's an up-and-coming artist. Right?
Yeah.
I think she'll get a break soon.
She's going to catch a break.
Yeah. She's so talented.
One day.
And shout out, to Josh for getting us that awesome merch. We have terrible merch, so if people are wearing it, that means we're doing something right.
They're at least coming.
Yeah.
Well, if you need a merch guy or art guy, just let me know.
Oh, yeah.
I will shamelessly plug my brother, so. And I'll show you some of his stuff out.
Oh, man, Josh is out of a job, man.
Happy birthday. Well, it was yesterday.
It was my birthday this year too.
Yeah. And when this gets released, they'll be like, "Oh, it was 2 weeks ago."
So that's what happened.
Yeah. Everyone listening right now is doing the math. Like, well, let's see. So what? Josh's birthday was then, so they recorded.
Yeah. What day was that? One thing I always love to ask people is what was the craft beer that you tried, and you're like, "This is wait a second, this is what beer can be." Like, what are your guys'?
Well, for Mitch, I know it was Sierra Nevada. Like, everybody's. Was it actually
just the regular?
Sierra Nevada might have been the first one. It's hard to remember the first, but I was just like such a Firestone Walker fanboy. I mean,
definitely Sierra Nevada.
But Sierra Nevada, I feel like was like probably my first one where I had it because I was never much of a I didn't drink or party or whatever in high school and I just didn't have an interest in it. And I remember when my buddy started getting into craft beer, you know, and then I want to say it was here in Nevada. I was like, whoa, this is
that's so weird. Because I'm just saying it because that's what everybody says is here in Nevada.
Yeah, it was.
Was it really, Steve? Not me.
My go-to thing that I used to say was like, I was, you know, I'd be like, yeah, man, instead of picking up a 30 rack or whatever, like I would bring 24 packs Sierra Nevada to parties.
Sierra Nevada. Yeah.
I know. I'd bring like a 24 pack of Sierra Nevada.
You'd be the guy that walked in with a six pack, right?
Yeah. No.
I brought one bomber for myself.
There you go.
No, but I know you're a big Firestone.
But Firestone. I mean,
especially. So Matt Burleson yelled at you that one time. But otherwise.
Yeah, Matt Burleson. Yeah, he put me in this pole, this big old. Then he said that rubs lotion on its skin.
That one time he grabbed his dog though, and that worked out.
It does as it's sold. No, Firestone Walker was. I mean, Actually, early on, I love Firestone Walker beer. They're my favorite brewery. And actually, it's funny. Last night, I was drinking a 2016 vintage Firestone Eldorado.
Oh, so, nice.
That was my brewery was and still is just like, I love Firestone.
That's awesome. And how about you guys?
I would say a Coronita and a margarita.
Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Corona for making mini Coronas.
The small Coronas.
Yeah. Brilliant. For me, I would say I'm taking you guys back to 2008, brand new restaurant in Culver City called Father's Office.
Okay.
Zero substitutions. You can only order a burger. They don't sell ranch and there's no sides. And it's fast casual and they only serve beer, no alcohol.
Yeah.
And it was Delirium Tremens.
Okay.
Classic. The Belgians.
The Belgians. And then it was 2011 after I met Jim Cook from Boston Beer Company, Great American Beer Festival. Went down there with my old boss, Victor, and we tried Alicash Curio.
Oh.
And that just blew my mind.
Wow.
The layer of flavors, it was like a dish.
Yeah.
You start off tasting this, and then you taste bananas, and then citrus, and then bitterness, and it was just an explosion of flavor
in
my mouth.
It just exploded.
Yeah, it just exploded. But that was like the second time where I thought to myself, like, this is something freaking cool.
Yeah.
I still don't know how to make it, obviously, but I understood at that point that it could be something special, you know?
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Chris, who just very quietly brought us a
fresh beer. Oh, yeah, he was super quiet.
It's like he was such a good guy.
Stuck in, stroked away.
Yeah. I had an empty glass and I was worried about it. And then out of nowhere,
just a beer
guy
beer.
Comes in with new beers.
Was it Kazam? Is that the Shaq movie?
Oh, it's Shazam.
Was it though?
Was it Kazam?
Yeah.
Or was it
Shazam? I think it was Shazam, right?
I think that's Shazam,
yeah. I don't remember. I thought it was Kazam.
Was it Shaq though, or was it the rapper, remember? That's like the whole...
Oh, so was Sinbad?
So
I think Sinbad was Shazam. And I think Kazam was Shaq.
Whoa.
Yeah, like I said, yeah.
That's so... that's really weird. They were the same movie overall.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Huh.
Sorry, I don't know why I brought that up, but
No.
Movies, that's how me and my brother learned English. Like, movies on the Dick Clark Collection.
Oh,
like,
nice.
Back in the days, you would order the Dick Clark Collection, and you would get these CDs from, like, 1940 to 1970.
Oh, yeah.
Genuinely, that's how we learned English, man.
Dang.
Yeah.
For those of you guys who don't know Shaq, he was in the movie Good Burger.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the original Good Burger.
The original Good Burger.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if he was in the sequel. I didn't see it.
I haven't seen the sequel, but, you know, it was a... I'm a Dude song. I mean, that song still lives in my head. So, shamelessly plugging Good Burger right
now. Dude, do you know every reference ever?
There's a lot of them.
Wow.
I would say I'm a vessel of useless knowledge.
What about I'll buy that for a dollar?
Oh, Price is Right?
No.
I'll buy that for a dollar. What was it?
RoboCop.
Oh, RoboCop. Phenomenal movie.
Well, Price is Right was $1.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
How about this? What's this movie from? This must be some kind of a hot tub time machine. What's that from?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's Shawshank. You said Shawshank.
Oh, Shawshank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Adventures of Babysitting.
Hey, classic movie.
Discover the whole classic wall with the...
That's the first time I found man. That opening scene where she's like dancing.
Oh, yeah. Who was it? Elizabeth Shue? Yeah.
Shout out to Elizabeth Shue. I'm married now, but...
Yeah.
Hey. I Elizabeth out there in podcast land.
There we go.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, no, what was your favorite? What was your beer that did?
Oh, that's right. This is my first beer.
Yeah.
It's one I made.
Yeah.
No, let's see. So, okay. So I distinctly remember Arrogant Bastard back when I was in high school or right after high school. I can't remember. I wasn't 21 for sure. I think I smoked a bunch of weed. Then
there you go.
I had that. So at the time I was like, this is like an ashtray. And so I wasn't worthy. That was my first craft beer ever, I want to say. And this was like, in the late 90s. And then I'm old. And then I got into Belgian beers for a little bit. And that was kind of a fun direction. But yeah, Stone. And then it was the brewery in Bocetti was what got me into like actually realizing that beer could be something more than what you picture beer as, right? So like the adjuncts that they were using and that sort of thing was where I was like, oh shit, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And that's what got me into it.
Okay.
So, and that's what got me, that's what got me home. Those guys are the ones that got me home brewing. So shout out to all those nerds.
Love it.
You know, Patrick Rue on down, you know, Kevin Hammonds and, you know, Tyler.
Saw Kevin Tyler yesterday. King.
Oh, yeah. All those guys over there. It's, you know, they're the OGs, man. And to me, I mean, in this area, like I grew up down the street from here. So,
okay.
I went there. I was going to that original, the OG Tapper, which was the brewery, the brew house.
Yeah.
Area.
A while for me.
I haven't been forever recently, but that was, we'd be there every weekend. I met Jared there. Questionable character.
Can we talk about that?
No, we can't talk about it.
I do have an amendment to my answer.
Paul from Greece.
If I haven't used up all time.
No, no, sorry, you're out of time.
Okay, no, okay.
I'm in the way, please.
Yeah. Rest above Subway.
You jogged my memory talking about the brewery and beers like that. I truly remember when I first realized what craft beer was. I had separate from Tavis and Aaron, I had some friends that almost the same time were getting into craft home brewing.
Yeah.
And so my friend Dale Nordberg and
Dale's Pale Ale.
Yeah.
It's a different Dale.
Oh.
Yeah. He actually taught this Dale the Dale. No, so my friend Dale and Randy, he was a family friend that I've known forever, and Randy started getting Dale into homebrewing. So I was hanging out at their place, and they were drinking their homebrew. They had this like kind of old Rasputin-y sort of Russian pure stout that they made.
Okay.
And they did this. Well, yeah, they did this fruit beer that they added mango to and stuff like that. And so I remember drinking the mango fruit beer, and I remember drinking the Imperial Stout that Dale just made over and over again. Just, it was this awesome beer. And I remember drinking that, and it was their homebrew, and just being like, oh, whoa, this is so different than, you know, the first beer that I ever had back when I was in high school, which was, you know, a Miller 64. I was like, this Imperial Stout is so different than that. Mm-hmm. And that was actually the moment I remember was that I realized what craft beer could be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and went from there.
That's awesome. I mean, I think it was a double bastard for me. And I was
double bastard. But you're worthy.
No, but I tried it and I was like I'm gonna sell it like a dork, but I was like, gross. I was like, yeah. This isn't for me.
No, when I smashed my bomber of Eric and Bastard, but in the end I was bummed, you know, was,
oh nah. Yeah. So but then I tried their regular IPA or their stone IPA, and I was like, oh, this is already good. And then I went to, like, I found myself at, you know, in Dito, but
yeah.
I think,
oh yeah, that the great Dutch spot, by the way.
Oh,
and so that was, we got the turtles. Like heaven on earth.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my but like the beer that did it for me was over there. It was Midas Touch by Dogfish Head.
Okay.
That's the beer that I thought when I drank that one, I was like, what the fuck? I called my brother like immediately, and granted I was 21 at the time. My brother was only 18. I was like, I just tried the greatest beer of my life. And it was the Midas Touch. And he was just like so excited. He's like, can you get a six pack? You know, I'm not condoning.
He wanted to look
underage
drinking. He wanted to just look at it. See you
drink. But, you know, I mean, the statute of limitations is long gone. So. it was that one, like the Midas Touch. And like, I just thought like, man, it's like one of the oldest beer recipes, you know, ever. So it was like, you know, it was like, man, that
kid. Dogfish was all like the ancient ales. I mean, that was really cool. That, and then I guess this was like, how long ago?
Dude, that was like 2008, maybe 2009.
Yeah. But I mean, another groundbreaking brew. Like they were like the brewery back east. Basically,
yeah. You know? It was like, when you have like, you know, breweries like that where they were like, you know, because craft beer was still in its infancy kind of really during that time.
Yeah.
Which is kind
of. I mean, the way that we think of it now, right? I mean, there was before that.
You had to drive to Escondido, you had to drive to San Diego to go to Carl Strauss or to do
something. Yeah, that's another one, that like Red Trolley.
Yeah,
like,
well, Red Trolley for me was,
like amazing. Fresh Red Trolley, I still mark out. Like, at Disney, it moves so fast. Generally, it's really fresh. So every time I'm there, I get one. And that's why I make a red.
Yeah.
Because, well, Victor Novak. Because that was another one. Taps in Brea.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was the other kind of like mind-blowing sort of beer thing to me. Was the Red and the Hef. Okay. Victor's Hef was I'm sure you basically get half now, but mm-hmm. those are the red and the half were the two that I remember back to. And it wasn't, and that was actually probably pre-brewery for me, like potential brewery. But yeah, that was when I was like, before I knew what beer was and people, like there's people that make beer. It's not just like some factory or something.
Yeah, it's not just
like
a machine.
Yeah. I guarantee if you ask anyone walking down the street, if you ask the question, who's your favorite brewmaster who makes, what's your favorite beer who make, who's, they would say what,
Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah. And people make beer? Yeah. Question mark? Like,
yeah.
Nobody. This is a very, very niche, really niche stuff here. But it's 5,000. But where you're at now, you're
6,500. Yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Whoa. 6,500, bro. So, there's 6,500 people that know that people make beer, not a robot, a machine, AI. I'm assuming pretty soon we'll just have AI making beer.
But that's what I love, though, because you get that human element from it. Like, you get to hear somebody's story and, like, because I always say, like, the destination is the same. Everybody, if you're a brewer, like, you want to eventually have your own brewery, right? Like, everybody's destination is the same, but the journey's different. Like, you can have two different stories. Like, you were at Noble, and shout out to the guys at Noble. Like, they're all my buds. And, you being at, home brewing, Lost Winds, all that sort of stuff. Like, you have that, even with your story with your barbecue, like you and your wife telling you, like, hey, let's do this. And her willing to sacrifice all of her stuff, for you. And like, when you have that kind of want and just like, I'm not going to stop until I can, until I'm going to accomplish this. Like, I love that. Like, to me, that's like the ultimate thing. Like what more can you ask for?
I think it's a lack of fear. Now, I would say I'm afraid of a lot of things, but like,
I'm only afraid.
I worry about everything, but I fear nothing.
Yeah.
So like, I worry about the growth. I worry about making great beer. I worry about the competitive beer. I worry about competitive food. I worry about service. I worry about the way people feel when they're here, but I fear nothing.
But you want to be the best.
So I think anybody out there that wants to open up a brewery, stop fearing things. Start educating yourself.
Yeah.
Do due diligence. And then if the opportunity comes, just shoot your shot.
Yeah, work your ass off.
If you think about it, we're entering like our middle life, right? Like I'm in my 40s now, right?
Yeah.
The time for me to fail is now. Not when I'm 50, not when I'm 60, not when I'm 70.
Yeah.
And I'm relying on somebody else. If you're going to do it, just do it and do it with a bunch of people. Don't think about it in terms of like, I need more numbers. Mm-hmm. I don't need a lot of friends. I just need three badass motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to show up every day and say, hey, man, we're about to get our asses kicked, but this is who we are. Stand your ground. Fight your fight. And if you can find those two people to trust, like, that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
And that's why for us, like, assembling this team of, like, restaurant Avengers, it was such a huge relief for me to find somebody like Brad, who brought in Dave, who brought in Mitch, and we're all like-minded because it's so easy to work with people like that. Like, that's their silo. I'll be honest with you right now. Like, Brad controls 100% of production and brewing.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to look at it. So if you can find those people, it helps you out so much. Because then I can worry with a facility this big with a 9,000 square foot brewery.
Yeah.
You have to focus on food. You have to focus on service, execution. You have to focus on human resources.
Yeah.
Business growth and development, marketing strategy. If you can find somebody that like will complete a silo, it's one less thing you have to worry about.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we've been successful is he trusts me with the food and service. I listen to his feedback. He wants to make adjustments. I trust him with the beer.
Yeah.
He listens to our feedback, makes adjustments, and together we were kind of growing the concept.
Yeah. And you just have to keep on working on that, making that amazing taco.
Yeah. And the blueberry wheat. We have a blueberry wheat beer that Brad hates making, but our guests love it, man. My mom loves it. My mom doesn't like beer.
Isn't that like the whole thing? Like, because, like when it comes to brewers and stuff, like sometimes, like even like Mike over at Unsung, like we the first time he was on the episode one, him and I talked about how. Like, he's like, I don't want to brew this stuff. Like, I don't want to brew seltzers. I don't want to brew, hazies. He's like, but I have to. Because I'm a business. I'm a small business owner. Like, I have to appease, like, the people that are coming in, right? It's always, like, the brewing what you want. Like, we're making one for you, one for them kind of thing.
There's always a layer of that.
Yeah.
Ideally, you're making something that you... To me, it's like a compromise, like, with the... I'm pretty happy with like a lot of those wacky things that we're doing. Like, and I'm not even the big, I'm still not, I mean, I went through like a, actually the haze craze happened and I really like got really into it. I'm like, okay, I realize I know what this, feel like I know what this was about and everything. I really dug it. And then I got really, well, eventually you get really, well, there's a lot of layers to it, but you get to a point where you're chasing something and you're getting you change one thing, it changes five other things in the process. And then you realize, okay, what did I do? And then you either rescale that back or figure out another alternative way in to do something. And like Hazy was like, I have this idea in my mind of what it should be, but arriving there was very difficult. And that, and this is back, you know, back in Noble when I was doing the Hazy's there. And eventually gets to a point where it's like, I am having such a hard time arriving at where I want to arrive. And I'm starting to hate this, you know? And since deviated from that perspective, but now, like what we're doing with Hazy, I feel like I'm at a spot where, like, even though I don't love it, I like West Coast IPA more. I love West Coast IPA, but I'm really happy with where our Hazy's are.
Yeah.
And that's a compromise that, like, and you know, I think, yeah, I don't know. I think that I feel like when I talk to customers, they seem pretty cool. But it's like, it's a compromise. I feel like it's a compromise.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to arrive at a spot that we like or shit. Too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
I mean, I think, yeah, it's like, you know, there's kind of this constant conversation of, you know, on one hand, you know, it's, hey, I'm a brewer, I know what I'm doing, I've been doing this for a very long time, I'm, you know, I'm someone who has an elevated idea of what we're doing here,
yeah,
and who is somebody who just walks in to the tap room who doesn't know anything about beer to tell me how, what kind of beer to make or what I should do. You know, that's one very extreme side of it. I think the other extreme side is you're not an artist. You are a person that owns a business.
Mm-hmm.
Just give the people what they want, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that they're, I commend both of those opinions. I think that they both make a heck of a lot of sense in certain contexts. But for me, I think it's somewhere in the middle where, you know, maybe there is a style that isn't the, if I walk up to a bar, I'm, you know, to talk, you know, to agree with Brett on the Hazy thing, there are some Hazies that I'll have that I enjoy, you know, of course. It's not necessarily the style that I would order, you know, if I was going to pick one beer. But I think that that's part of the secret sauce is, you know, you don't just try to make some sort of beer that you think is going to make people happy when it comes to making a Hazy or something like that. But it's, hey, how, even though this isn't my favorite style, what's something I can get excited about?
Yeah.
What's something that I actually do truly believe in, you know, and how can I make something that I actually am really proud of? You know, I think that's almost more of the challenge is if you don't really drink a certain kind of beer and it's not your style, if you are able to make something that you are excited about,
yeah,
that'll probably lead to a pretty good thing, you know, because it's not even your cup of tea. And if you like it, it's got to be, if, you know, if Jimmy likes it, it's got to be good. Or what, if Mikey likes it, it's got to be good. You know? So,
Mikey likes
know,
it.
I don't know.
I think from like a business aspect of it.
Yeah.
If you want to be successful, you have to protect your artist's
ability
and your artist's
feeling.
Like if Brad feels that he's making beer for the sake of running a business or to appease like a crowd, I failed because it's my job to protect him.
Yeah.
The artist's integrity should always be there. Like they should always feel that they can create because that's what's made them successful.
Oh, yeah.
It's up to us to like bottle that energy. You know, bottle those tasty notes, bottle what makes it unique, and then package it to our servers who can then explain it to like the customers, right? The guests coming in. But it's tough because the beer game's evolving so quickly.
Yeah.
And if you look at it in terms of like years, like go back to 2005, what were you drinking?
Pyramid Half.
Yeah, and we put fruit in everything.
Wow. Yeah,
we were
Pyramid Half and Maple probably.
I was drinking milk.
Blue Moon. You were in middle school. I mean, I remember putting orange wedges in everything, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then 2009, like
Shock Top.
Yeah, 2009 high ABV Belgiums.
Yeah.
And then 2012 flavored stouts. Like for me, like what excites me the most is like understanding that none of us here know what the next trend is.
Oh, yeah. And
how fast can we react to that trend? How fast can we absorb that trend?
Yeah.
How fast can we make it better?
Oh, and when it comes to trends too, like, because like we talked about the haze craze, there was the seltzer thing. Oh, like, well, they called it summer seltzer, all that sort of stuff. The seltzers are still popular, but like, I'm glad that like pilsners and lagers are making their way back, especially with like the West Coast. And that's why I always love a good pilsner. And I was at Hamilton yesterday and I was talking about how, like, the reason why I always order like a pilsner or lager is because if that's good,
oh yeah,
I know everything else is good.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you can't hide behind anything.
Yeah.
And like, you know, and that's the best part. Like, so why test.
Give it to Chris. Yeah. Can you give it to Chris over here?
Oh yeah. You know, Chris. Okay, can you say your name? How long you've been with them? I mean, like, you know, there you go.
Chris Phillips. I've been with the company since March of 2023.
He's there actually team member number one here.
Oh, awesome.
And now the general manager. So started from the bottom.
Shake here. Your hand.
Yeah. He's the reason for the shadow is he's just brought us shots.
Tremendous, like five bigger shots.
Yeah,
they're very respectful.
Yeah.
Also,
thank you so much. That,
I love that. That is freaking sweet.
But yeah, I mean,
thank you. Don't be any. We don't need any more kindness. But thank you.
That's the end of your kindness.
We appreciate you.
To the future of beer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. to the craft beer industry.
Sundays are
full. Well, that's the thing. So like, who knows? Oh hey, Chaim.
To the old guy, as they say in the old country.
Yeah.
My brother says that for every like anytime because he quotes Wedding Crashers all the time.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's a banger.
No, I'll say the fact that it seems like seltzer, West Coast, and lager are things that are, you know, really peaking right now.
But reds and blacks are coming back too.
Those are like my three favorite things to drink. But yeah, reds and blacks, that's fun too.
Well, as an outsider coming in and then becoming an insider, I think overall there's this demand for like nostalgia. Like
definitely.
Look at the seltzers that are selling, and like, and why seltzers are selling.
Yeah,
it's flavors that you're reminded of your youth, like
1,000%,
like almost like cocktail based seltzers. Same thing with food. People want to like feel comfort food. I think comfort food for the first time in American history, comfort food is number one in terms of like what the nation wants.
Oh yeah,
they'll favor that over fine dining. I just saw it on a report. Like, so I think right now, like our generation is standing up and saying, hey, we want some of those like wholesome flavors, wholesome memories that we had growing up. And for people that are producing those, that's what makes us successful, you know?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. I mean, I feel like nowadays we all kind of need that. Like it may sound corny or cheesy, but we all need a little bit of that nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like we need to kind of go back to what we were when we were kids, like even like, you know, and we'll talk a little wrestling at the end, but, But like, I love like people ask me like, why are you still watching? I was like, because like, it's still like, it takes me back. Like I'll always be a kid at heart, but I, you know, I'd love to be able to like do stuff like this and be able to talk to you guys and like, you know, to just nerd out for a little while. Like, you know,
I was a huge wrestling fan growing up, but in 1996, the referee somehow fell asleep and the Ultimate Warrior beat Hulk Hogan. So my brother and I gave up on it. That was the last year I ever
watched. Oh, that's all right. I mean, that was the battle of like the clash of the, what do they call it? The clash of freaking whatever it was.
Well, that broke my heart. And then Magic Johnson, you know, got AIDS survived AIDS. And it was just a terrible year for me as a freshman in high school.
To quote Tropic Thunder,
survive. Survive. And then I didn't end up either. Nirvana, you know, Kurt.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Courtney Love did
it. Courtney Love did it.
Yeah,
Courtney Love.
Definitely did it.
Courtney Love did it. Yep. Dig in.
Yeah.
He said hi, Courtney, he out of a podcast.
Yeah. Hey, Courtney, if you're listening, we know you did it.
We know we're sending the police right now. Yeah.
Kurt said he didn't have a gun. He stated it multiple times.
He did.
Yeah.
I even now, I've heard him say
I still hear it.
Posthumous.
From the grave.
What happened there?
Bradley? Well, I think you're probably just a drunk.
Yeah,
that one was
a little black tar hair. Yeah,
he had a pretty traumatic childhood. Like you name an artist, bad things happen.
Yeah,
the last rev was Madonna.
Oh, the Big Bopper. What?
Oh, yeah. oh, the Bomba. We're making it. We're coming.
We're going back.
You know what's crazy is
the day the music died.
Wiley Jennings.
The Waylon Jennings.
Oh, Waylon Jennings. Yeah,
artist was one of the guys.
Wasn't that the dude that thing? He lost the coin toss, right?
Yeah,
he lost.
And then so he. I already never recovered from that.
I'll
never financially recover from that.
Yeah.
The name of our rent.
That's true.
That's
the name of the rent.
Damn cool. This is proof. I'm I'm not an artist. I don't know what I'm doing because I had a good childhood. So
see, that's wow. No, no, no. Yeah,
you live your parents.
So that
I love my parents. Shut this podcast.
My parents are awesome. They're the best parents I've had.
Both parents.
Yeah, the best.
Still married.
Yeah. You had multiple parents.
Did you go to private school?
No, I went to Bali.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I love my parents. A great childhood.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. I did want to ask you guys too, because I mean, obviously, you guys have like, you have food, you have brunch, you have all these different things here. Like, and obviously, amazing beer. But like, some of your food, like, what are your favorite like food pairings? Like, if you were going to have like something on your menu, like, you know, whether like the beer, what are we going to pair with it?
We're looking forward to like our first collaborative brewer slash Jarrett, his friend,
yeah,
is a mixologist slash cocktail maker slash distiller slash everything.
Just an artist.
He's an artist.
Yeah,
his all kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we're gonna do like a pairings dinner. So I'll let him kind of talk about that. But
yeah,
for me, I would say
that's for cocktail though.
Yeah,
for beer pairing. Let's see, what do I do? The Mexican lager kind of goes with the most stuff. Yeah.
So our Mexican lager is Saca La Bolsita.
Yeah.
Which is the ultimate name.
Yeah.
The reason we chose that name is I grew up in Huntington Park, right? Where'd you grow up?
Pico.
Pico, where'd you grow up?
Norwalk.
They have a phantom guest from Norwalk.
There you go.
So in those three areas, right, we're away from each other. None of us have known each other.
Yeah.
But sometime between the time that we were kids till we were 18, we heard Saca La Bolsita, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I would say the only thing like business-wise that we should not forget to mention is if you ever want to have a private party or event here, it's always free.
Okay.
So one like edit that part out.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I think for your birthday, you want to like rent out the pool.
Yeah.
You can do that for free.
Edit all of this out. It's these shameless plugs.
Well, no, because I think you're saying
I'm covering it
because of the, you pay for the food and all that stuff.
Yeah, so
but
let's say you want to have your
40, 30th birthday? Yeah. 37 now. 37 I just turned 37 birthday? A couple weeks ago.
So, like, if you want to have a birthday party, you can literally say, hey, I'm bringing 100 people. Yeah. I want all separate checks. They're going to order individually. Like, let me reserve the pool. You can do that.
Okay.
We'll accommodate that.
Yeah. No matter what.
Awesome.
It has to have a cover on the pool.
Yeah.
But
the pool has a goddamn
cover. You can be over the pool.
Sorry, you can't just like Will Ferrell it when he gets a trank in his neck and an old school and just like,
Cannonball!
Crazy, man.
And then your future will be
removed to something from the pool.
Yeah.
Is that for liability purposes?
Well, the cover
we can't do it yet.
I think in a month.
Sorry. But I did want to ask you, Brad, about so usually the week of Mania, like the weekend of Mania, I like to record, like, you know, like a longer intro, like maybe like 15-30 minute intro, but to talk about all the matches, predictions,
what's coming up. Okay.
So if you'd be willing to do that when that time comes, we can.
Okay, so you're saying you want to do a podcast where we
like, we can do it like on a like we can do it a Saturday morning or a Friday night before
Mania.
Yeah, before Mania.
Mania is blocked off.
Yeah.
There's a kid's birthday party.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that.
Yeah.
I'm sitting home for Mania.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. You can do it at your home. We can do it remotely.
Yeah. So every year you're saying you do this?
I do this. Yeah. So I'll do like a predictions.
Like, I'm not doing them this year.
No, I mean, I'm down.
Yeah. That's so cool. We should have it here. We should have it on the screen.
Well, I would love to
Let's do it.
But yeah, I think it's going to cost some dough.
The only thing is I am cooking. Yeah. I'm cooking at my own because we do it. We have a thing every year. But I mean, if you guys want to, come over.
Let's do that. Yeah.
Come over and watch the podcast. WrestleMania.
Which day?
Either. Oh. So night one, I'm gonna do pork belly burn-ins. I'm gonna cook. Try tip.
How are you doing the pork belly?
I don't know who's listening. You're invited.
Yeah.
Everybody is listening.
Pork belly or burn-ins are a good category.
Oh no, they're great, and you can make a little sammy out of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like so, I do like, you know, like maybe an inch and a half, 2-inch cube. Mm. Do that, sure. And then do like I don't do any binder. I just kind of, you know,
dose it up.
Oh yeah, for sure. So I do that. That one, I'm gonna do ribs. I'm gonna do chicken sausage. I don't know if you've ever been to Mama's Kitchen or Mama's Chicken.
Ooh,
of course.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make the chicken sausage burn-ins. But I don't want to, because they're already salty, so I don't want to overdo it on the salt. So I thought maybe I'm going to do like a maple rub on it.
Yeah, sweeten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, we counter that.
The pork belly burnt ends, I love like when you could put them into like a fryer or like flash, hit them at 5 degrees in an oven just to get the skin like crispy.
Oh, yeah. So I just do them usually at, like I'll do them at like 200 on the smoker and then take them off, toss them in the tin, you know, with some like a little butter, just a little extra fat, but you know, in there with a little fat content. And then hit it with like some brown sugar or like whatever barbecue sauce or another little, maybe a little bit more rub.
Fat content's what they called me in high school.
There you go.
When's the anniversary of your podcast?
It was actually just 2 weeks ago.
If you ever want to have like a good event, we should do something here, like a whole
ready
for the right moment.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Our new
make you do it.
I'm down.
Like injecting it, cutting it, and putting it in the smoker.
I'm down. Let's do it. Okay, before we end, so it's been almost a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are some funny taproom stories that you guys have had? Or have there been any?
None. There's no funny taproom.
We don't laugh ever.
Oh,
you know, the first thing that we erected that private room.
You erected it?
The first thing that we built the private room, the private room that you guys were a part of, remember that we said the music was flat?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey guys, no matter what, don't break into this room. This room's expensive. It's made of glass.
This is the smallest spirit Ryan room you've ever been to.
Dave came in super hungover. He's like just reeking of Jameson and vodka.
Been there.
And then he jumped inside of a forklift. He immediately just all the windows.
Oh, we got that eye too.
Uh-oh. No, you tell me.
You don't have to do anything. No, I'm out.
It's up to you guys. Tell me what you want me to do.
We'll review it. We get a final review.
Funny stories? What else?
Or do you guys have any events coming up? Like, you know, something you guys have planned?
Because
I know, obviously, the biggest thing is Mania, but, you know.
Yeah, Mania is big, but that was going to be just a house.
I think you guys start us with Mania to do something big.
I'm excited for my bachelor party. That's the biggest thing for me.
Just have a
The wedding will be cool, but the bachelor party, that's the big thing.
St. Patrick's Day, we're doing a St. Patrick's Day themed brunch.
Okay.
So we'll have a bunch of cool
corned beef and hash and all that stuff.
Well, hi. Green ham and regular loved eggs.
There you go.
Corned beef tacos are going to be bad.
don't get the corned beef tacos. They're going to be terrible.
They're not, you know, I'm just never going to tell them these tacos are good.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to. I'm contractually obligated to tell them that
it's got
to
work.
What taco makes.
He's got to work on those tacos.
Yeah. Come on. Work on them.
I would say the coolest stories ever. I would say me, Brad, David, and Mitch working like 35 days straight.
Yeah.
When we first opened up, our executive chef, Oscar, who passed away. He was with us for 3 months. But like seeing him, like, he was a bigger guy, like he would painfully move and like get things done, but like he was kind of a rally monkey, you know, like he was like an icon to us for like rallying because he worked so hard. But
yeah,
I would say like I would want him noted as like part of the reason we were successful for, you know, things.
Well, shout out to Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar. Yep. I mean, this guy's
a good dude. We joked out of Dave, but that is actually.
Yeah. Well, no, yes. All right, Dave, but like that was a joke.
Oscar is actually all
right. Yeah.
Yeah. What a guy.
But I mean, I wish you would have met him, bro, because he comes like from a similar background. He grew up in Oxnard. What really impressed me about the whole situation following his, you know, him passing away was the staff raised $25,000 for his mom.
Wow.
They paid off every obligation she had to like a roofing company, which is like his last thing.
Wow.
He was very vocal. He would tell people like what was going on in his life, but he literally moved here from Oxnard to work with us.
That's awesome.
Like, when I talk about our team, like I'm worth shit without my team.
Yeah.
But like, you know, David working here from Vegas, he drives here from San Clemente.
The ocean side.
I won't go to my wife's dad's birthday because it's in West LA.
Yeah.
It's like 4 miles away, you know, like.
Yeah.
This guy, you know, Oceanside, drives here from Oceanside, like Oscar coming from Oxnard, like people like drive to be a part of this process. And I think it's something special. And I think that like that vibe, Brad takes it and he bottles it up and he cans it up and he puts it in cans and bottles and glasses. And I think it's like, it's worth you guys checking out because it's something special.
Yeah.
I've worked at a lot of restaurants. I've eaten a lot of restaurants. I've worked at a lot of places. I've never worked at a lot of breweries, but like I've been to a lot of breweries and there's something special about this concept that, you know,
oh, yeah.
I think it's worth trying.
You know what I always feel like it's kind of crazy tonight? Because I have a second podcast. I don't plug it as often, but what I say on there, like the mantra of that show is just because you've been doing something your whole life doesn't mean you have to do it for the rest of your life. And that applies to life in general. And like, you don't have to, like, you could have like a cushy job. And how often, I mean, honestly, and how often when I talk to people like little brewers or owners, like they had a, like, you know, a really like a job that paid more, but they're like, this isn't what I want though.
I have a degree in computer science and I chose to be a janitor and make beer.
And you're willing to but you're willing to give that up to to do something you want to do and something that you love. And to me, that's the passion there.
I just love cleaning. Beer is okay, but I love cleaning.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah.
Earlier I said I feared
it cost to destroy.
I lied. I fear my mom, right?
Yeah.
And so my mom said, never get a tattoo. And I got a tattoo of this villain's.
Yeah, sorry. I got Luke's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi over here.
Bro, it was
is this Jaws though? Are we just pulling out are we just the Lost Winds? Is it the Lost Winds? Lost Winds palm tree?
That's Villas. That's our logo. I was so scared when I went home because this happened about this February 7th, so last month.
It looks like flat.
I came home and I'm like, Mom, look at this tattoo. And she just started hitting me.
Did she take the iron to it?
Bro, it's our home. We have a roof for her and she stays with us. And she just came back afterwards. She's fucking leave right now.
Yeah.
I'll leave right now. I don't need to be here.
I'm like, fuck you,
Mom. Stop.
But honestly, it felt like we were doing the thing from Jaws, when everybody pulls out their scars. you lift it up your leg like Richard Dreyfuss in that
one. That is funny.
Classic. Oh, no, they're coming again? Uh-oh.
But it's been, this is kind of who we are,
Yeah.
This is, right?
Yeah. Honestly, man, I just want to tell you guys, I am super grateful for you guys opening up the place for me and be able to have this conversation. I honestly love hearing success stories, man. I love hearing people doesn't matter what walk of life they're from, somebody that saying I have a dream. I just happened to look at Martin Luther King's, thing over there, or photo over there that Brad took.
I didn't hear that photo.
Yeah.
There.
Brad's a great.
I said, look pensive.
Yeah.
MLK.
And you were 3 years old.
He was a little young when he took the photo.
Yeah.
I will say that it's a sheer miracle that we're able to provide the opportunity for other people to work here. We have 87 employees,
mm-hmm.
Which are most of them are from Anaheim or at least Orange County.
Yeah.
Of those 87 employees, most of them are full-time, mm-hmm. at least have 3 to 4 days of work. We have 3 managers on board. We have 2 salary managers. We have a salary kitchen manager. The fact that we're able to do that, man.
Yeah.
It's a dream come true because times are tough. This is an election year. Without going into politics, this is an election year. The SAG strike really impacted LA County.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
If you're hearing this right now, you live in LA or have a burger in LA. Sorry, it was 9 months of not having any income come in.
Yeah.
It was $3 billion. They estimated that $3 billion were lost last year in LA because of that.
Wow.
And if you factor in the 10 freeway burning down for a month.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was a really bad year for LA. Hang in there. Good times are coming. And if you ever need anything, advice, help. If you're out there, you're a brewer or you're a owner of a brewery and you're struggling, reach out to us, man.
Yeah.
We're very communal. For me, I don't have a formal education. If I like you or if you come up to me, I will teach you everything I know.
But that's what I love about the craft beer community though, because everybody's say 95% of the craft beer community is really hey, yeah, let's do this. Or hey, I'm having a hard time dialing in this hazy or dialing in this pilsner, stuff like that. You reach out to one of your buddies and at another brewery, they respond and they're like, yep, mm-hmm. Have you tried this?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a simple fix, sometimes it's not a simple fix.
Yeah.
But you can, you have that community. And when you look at communities like the wine community,
yeah,
everybody's like, oh, no, get off of my, this is my thing, get the fuck out of here. But with the craft beer community, it's like, dude, I want to help you succeed.
Yeah.
And, and I love that. That's why I said the craft beer community is the best, because I don't think there's any other community out there where everyone wants to compete with each other. And don't get me wrong, there's not competition, but you're willing to, you want us all to succeed, because was it the last time I said it was 90% of the market was, obviously the big boys.
Yeah.
But it's getting better and better.
Well, for me, I'm most part of the craft beer community because they took on big beer.
Oh yeah,
we beat Bud Light.
Yeah,
think about that.
Yeah,
for the first time ever, Bud Light's backing off their campaign to Bud Light.
Yeah,
going into
craft
segment. My chefs, Shane Gillis,
roasters,
something.
Shane, if you listen,
something with the internal programming of the big manufacturing companies like AB.
Yeah,
is redirecting their energy because they're realizing they're losing a battle.
Cheers!
Cheers!
Gonna finish.
Chris brought us one more round of shots.
Yeah,
he's great.
Yeah,
now
cheers!
All right, well,
finish her off, eh?
Yeah.
Finish her off, you hoser. So, I mean, like I said, I'm super appreciative of you guys. Like, thank you for opening up the place, you know, to be able to do something like this here at the Craftsman Building or house. I mean, like, I can't wait to talk a little wrestling with you.
Special. I'm always, and on this special episode.
Special. It'll be like it'll start off as supposed to be like a 15-minute intro. Then I'm sure with me and you talking wrestling, it'll be like an hour long.
Oh, no, I know. I mean, that's why the SoCal podcast I did.
Yeah.
Because he realized like I was in the wrestling. So we did, it just turned into two episodes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
We went like deep, you know, there was a lot cut out. I wish we could have a whole podcast could have been played, but he's a WWE guy.
So. Oh yeah, no, for sure. Like I got to meet him once at
the Segundo.
Yeah, at El Segundo. Segundo. My fucking eyes were closed like a dumbass. Like I mean, I didn't realize like we took a picture and I'm like,
oh, hey,
my eyes were open, but I was kind of up. So
that's why I got him in Photoshop.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But even then, I was like, fuck, I got to meet one of the goats. But real quick, man. Before we finish, yeah. What's your Mount Rushmore?
Of wrestling?
Yeah.
See, that's a terrible question.
I know, it's tough.
You got it. I don't know. So Rushmore is what, 5?
It's the presidents.
Yeah. Top 5. We'll say your top 5. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, like the, you know, it's whatever you want it to be.
So Rock, Austin.
Okay.
And then you get to Seattle.
Sting?
Sting? No.
The Police, all of them.
There, yeah. I'll nailed it.
The Police. Hunter. I think.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Hunter's one of the greatest heels of all time.
Right?
Oh, no, of course. Nationwide.
So here's your 4. Taker? Probably Taker.
Oh, yeah, but Taker has to be on the list no matter what.
So there you go. That was 5 right there.
Yeah.
It's easy.
You're welcome.
I guess that is easy.
Yeah.
I mean, but there's so many more. Yeah.
Sean's my goat.
Sean?
Yeah, Sean will always be my goat because he may have, like, he was, even when they were getting their ass kicked in the ratings by WCW, like, he was still the guy that was, like, you know, steering. If he wasn't there during that time, they probably, I mean, who knows? They may have went under before Stone Cold took off.
Yeah, you're saying in the rainy war.
Yeah,
you gotta save this to the wrestling podcast.
No, I'll give off.
I love Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
I don't love his wrestling stuff.
Oh yeah, but he was. But I don't know. I always felt like he was the kind of guy that like he could stand in there with a guy like Taker.
He could do whatever.
Yeah.
No, and he could
do anything.
You're right. Yes, but God, I mean. Yeah, I don't know.
But it's all subjective too.
Yeah.
Like everybody has their guy. Like, but it'd be like probably Sean Austin's got to be in there. Yeah. Nature Boy.
What about the Bushwhack Brothers?
Come on, Triple L, the Bushwhackers, Triple H, and then you know what? I love Edge. I've loved freaking Edge.
You heard it here first. Yeah. He loves Edge.
Yeah, who doesn't love Edge? Mr. Adam Copeland himself.
Yeah. See, I got Wayne AEW.
Yeah,
and then. I can't watch anymore.
Yeah.
Just the
it's not the, I don't know. It's not the same as when it started. I feel like
the style is just, it's not my style. Like there's a lot of just leaning. It's too predictable. Too predictable.
Yeah.
It's like when it comes to the actual wrestling, like you lean in, wait for the chair shot.
Yeah.
You know, okay. Drop on the ground. I mean, there's too much to me. Like the style is problematic.
Oh yeah.
I do love. Like, but I love a lot of the old WWE guys that are in it.
Yeah.
And
they're just calling people
the way that WWE sells.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's.
And they're doing the WCW thing. They're doing the WCW thing. They're like, they're getting the guys from WWE, but they're not using them the right way. And I'm sorry. We're going off the rails. And
I know. But I completely agree with that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll do the WrestleMania podcast.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that. It's going to be fucking phenomenal. I can't wait. All
right.
So. Oh, well, thank you guys again. This has been super fun for me.
Thank you so much. This is fun. This is
probably one of the.
It is 2:15 on Sunday, March 10th, and I'm drunk.
There it is. I love it. And to me, like,
don't worry.
Hey, we got to have a fun conversation. I got to hear your like, every one of your guys' stories. And to me, like, what's better than that? What's better than hearing somebody like being willing to like, you know, put all their shit on the line to, you know, to take a risk, and you know, you took it, and it, clearly it's paying off.
Anybody who's still here, thank you.
Yeah.
Shout out to Madonna. Yeah. Thank you. She's our most dedicated listener. Thank you, Madonna.
There you go. Yeah. You know what? And you, one day you're going to get your big break. I promise.
Madonna, just keep working at it. You'll get there. I
put some money on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll wager that.
There's no reason.
I think Madonna might make it.
Yeah. She's talented enough to not go smutty. Don't get dirty. Just like don't go with the kids.
Watch out for chairs. Don't trust chairs.
Don't trust those. Or don't. Hey, is it chairs or chairs?
Chairs.
Oh, chairs.
Yeah, no chairs. No, what you sit in.
Yeah.
All right. Watch out for chairs.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. This has been a blast. I mean, we can, you know. I'm sure we can probably go for 3 hours if we want to.
At least.
Yeah. But like the longest episode I ever had was with Nadav from Long Beach Beer Lab. Shout out to Nadav. He's moving back to Israel to be the director of brewing operations.
We could probably be in.
Oh, no way.
Yes. Yeah. He's leaving. Yeah, he's going April 1st. He's leaving. And it's not a joke. It's April Fool's Day, but it's not really a joke. He's really leaving. But shout out to him. He's leaving April 1st to be the director of brewing for brewing operations for Beer Bazaar.
All right.
So he's going back home. Super proud of him. That's super awesome.
Wow, yeah, it's huge. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but thanks for having us,
man. Oh, thank you guys. I appreciate it. And
thank you guys.
I was in a quote Euro trip. I was like, these are magical. All right. Cheers. Cheers, everybody.
We got to turn the mics on.
There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, it was really fun for me. Being able to hear all their stories, you know, and do something like that was a real blast. Having Brad being, you know, the head brewer, and Mitch being there, one of the other brewers, you know, and hearing his story and kind of how him and I came full circle, you know, meeting him at Lost Winds and then find, you know, fanboying out over at Everywhere. And honestly, like, you know, seeing Isaiah too, like we're meeting Isaiah, like honestly opening, like them opening their doors to me just made me, you know, just made me feel like $1 million, man. They were super cool. Their beer is really good. Like I said, their food is bomb as well. And Isaiah, when it comes to, you know, all three of them, like they're masters of their craft. And no pun intended there. But yeah. All right. So upcoming shows. Next week will be the No Rock Brewhouse episode with Ricky Rivera. The week after that is going to be the Hamilton episode. And then... also, then it will be the, man, I got to remember all my shows. I got so much crap going on. We have Norwalk Brewhouse, yeah, Hamilton, and then, okay, and then it will be, okay, then Brewery X. So yeah, I'm going to leave all this in. Whatever, it'll be fine. And then I'm going to be recording pretty soon, I think on Thursday this week, on the 28th, I'm recording with Tommy over at Asylum. So I'm super excited about that. And then next Saturday, I will be recording with Jonathan over at Frogtown. That should be a good one. I'm going to hang out with LA Brew Life for a little bit. So shout out to Art. And then I think the week after, Momentum Cider. She is a member of Pink Boots. So I'm super excited to talk to her as well. And then I believe there's some other ones coming up. There's a ton of stuff going on. I'm trying to knock out a lot of these, but it should be a good time. All right. So I'm going to end the episode with a quote today from one of my favorite shows of all time. And I figured it was kind of fitting because it's from Smallville. And, you know, obviously I talked to the guys at Villains Brewing. So, and this is from Lex Luthor, who is one of my favorite villains of all time. So the quote is, "The great men and women of the world have always been defined by their enemies." All right. Take care, Tap Fam. Have a good week.